Jeffrey Wright, Tim Murray, George Ruggiero hanging out with you here on a Friday. George, let's get into the list. The NBA draft. All right, I know we started talking about this at the beginning of the show, but I also wanted to run this by you. You know another issue that I had with ESPN and the coverage? Did it not feel like to you everyone that you were watching just looked kind of like tired?
Analyst-wise?
Yeah, like everyone that was like talking, I felt like just looked exhausted. And the other thing that like stood out to me, you know, we've talked about earlier this week, Cobb and I in particular, one of the issues that we had was it was like once they got through Cooper Flagg, like they were clearly well-prepped, ready to do the Cooper Flagg show. But it's like once they got through Cooper Flagg, everybody's like, well, what do you got? And then it became anytime somebody was drafted, either A, you don't get the name right, or B, it felt like you could hear just a producer just like word vomiting a bunch of stats into everybody's ear, and then just felt like, okay, here's a bunch of stats going in one ear, out the other. Like when you contrast it to the NFL, and I get it, like some people always get uncomfortable with that, but it's like the one thing that I've always enjoyed about the NFL draft is whether or not you're watching NFL Network, whether or not you're watching ESPN, whether or not you're watching ABC's coverage, when someone gets drafted, they don't just bombard you with stats. Like they tell you what they like, what they don't like. And I know like it's painting with a broad brush, but and Bilas, I think, did a on the ESPN broadcast, I felt like he did the best job, but it just felt like they were covering it because like they had to. It didn't feel like, oh, anyone really wanted to be there. Like that was the other problem that I had.
Yeah. I do want to take, I know that a lot of people are out there making, I'm sure a lot in Memphis too, because she's Malika messed up Cedric Coward with Colin Coward. I do kind of want to defend her.
It's tough right after they announced it. It's tough. Go ahead.
No. I know. It's bad. And like, but your brain is just so function that when something like, when she said that, I bet you she didn't even know she was making a mistake because that's a normal, that's a sports name. And like, dude, if you went back and checked tapes of my 4-hour unscripted shows, I'm sure I've done that before. So I wasn't as hard. I mean, it was funny. It's funny also because he was, you know, a former ESPN employee now working at technically their rival, right? FS1. So when she said it, that is funny, but I wasn't like crushing her as much as maybe everyone else was out there crushing her. I did laugh though. Did Kendrick Perkins, I think he said of Cooper Flagg, it was like if LeBron James and was it Kevin Durant had a baby?
I thought it was Jesus or something. I think like, I think also though, George, correct me if I'm wrong, that take he was workshopping last week. Like I think that take was going around pre-draft.
He'd been making some runs at it. He was trying a couple different things to see what would stick.
All right, well, you want to do the unpopular one? Because I've got thoughts on Malika here in a moment. I'm going to take up for Perk.
Oh, he said if LeBron and Kevin Garnett had a baby.
KG, okay. Yeah. Perk serves a role. Like, you know what Perk is? Like, I mean, that's not an easy role to be in because Perk is their NBA new version of Merrill Hodge. Like, remember when Merrill was on ESPN and Merrill just had, like, his way of like staying employed was he just always had to be the contrarian and always give the like the unpopular opinion, but it was like stuff that got people riled up. Like Perk's serving the same role.
You know what's funny is like I don't know if you because you're probably not super late, but like
yes I am.
When you watch Perk and he does his hits on like the late night sports center, I'm like talking about the one after Van Pelt.
Yeah, yeah. The one that used to be in LA, but I think they moved it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's with Briscoe, Nicole Briscoe. Yep. Like they actually have a really good rapport. And like I enjoy those interactions. It's almost like we don't necessarily need him on the desk. I almost think he would be better off to the side doing something. Like, we didn't need him on the desk. And especially, too, I'll defend him a little bit. The finals ended on Sunday.
No, I think this is the larger problem. It's the fact that
give the college guys, which you do with Jay Billis, but give, I don't know, give Jay Williams. Be like, all right, here's the deal. You're going to lock yourself in for a month, and you're just going to be, if you care about it, and this was your initial point, do they really care about it? That's the question. Because when we watch the NFL draft coverage, the NFL draft is its own season. It's 2 months long. You've got dudes, you've got what, five full-time ESPN employees that are on the NFL draft. It's obviously Kuiper. You had McShay until he probably made too much money. You've got Matt Miller. You've got, was it something, Reed? I forget who he is.
Is it Jaren Reed?
It's a Jay Reed. I'm not sure. Whatever. He's a full-time guy there, too.
So he does their radio coverage. He's fantastic. I wish that guy would get more shine.
Jordan Reed.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah, when you're driving around sometimes, you're like, okay, I can't just lock in and watch the whole draft. Jordan's great.
Also, I'd be curious, too. Well, and I know he was making his... It wasn't him. He was getting a lot of defense on Twitter. Why wasn't Fran Fraschilla on this broadcast?
I think, doesn't Fran do radio?
No, he wasn't on any.
I don't know, because Fran's always great. Fran's got one of the all-time lines. The Grizzlies drafted Bruno Caboclo, and Fran's line was, he's 2 years away from being 2 years away. And let me tell you what, Fran nailed it. No, he's great. Because, like, you know, we were talking about, like, your favorite analysts. I think you and I got into this on college basketball. It's like, Fran doesn't get the best games, but I always enjoy it.
I found it where Fran was doing it, because he works for Sirius. He was doing it on
NBA.
XM.
Yeah,
he was doing the draft.
He was there, because I thought I saw him, like, you know, like when they pan the floor? I saw him with a headset.
All right, well, that's good. I mean, good. I'm glad that he was, because...
And
I
he's a tremendous multitasker, because he's still firing takes on Twitter when he's working.
Oh, yeah, this entire thing of, like, during the broadcast is just... These are long tweets, too. These aren't little short ones, either.
Like, I didn't know. It's like, does Fran have someone that's, like listening to the radio, and it's, like, transcripting what he's saying and then putting it on, like... Because Fran's phenomenal. I think, though, that's kind of the other problem, though, is... I just don't think they're into it. I think what they're into is, and I'll never care about this. I understand there's a market for it and that there are other people, and I'm not saying this whole thing should be geared towards me. But I don't care about the fashion show element. Like, I just don't. Like, I never will. But it seems like ESPN, more than anyone, leans into, let's check the guys' fits. Here they are walking in. And it's like, I don't care. I am watching this to find out about this basketball player. But I think a bigger problem is they had everyone, and I get it, like cry me a river. A lot of them are flying private, going place to place. But it's like they did just cover a 7-game series with a decent amount of travel. And you're
where you want them prepped up as possible.
Correct. And I get it now. A lot of them are in New York, and it's not like that was a super, but I don't know about you. I like the NBA, but I'm kind of at the point now where it's like, I'm kind of done. And that's what I think works about the NFL draft is once you get through the end of the season, all right, now we can start watching a little bit more college hoops. We can watch more NBA. You get like a reset, and then here comes a weekend of football. There was no reset. Like, we just had this. The playoffs are so long, and you're just kind of ready to be like, man, it's summer. Like, we're getting ready to go on vacation. It's like, I'm just not ready to be locked into the draft. Their calendar needs real assessing.
I would agree with that. By the way, speaking of vacation, did you watch Van Pelt last night?
When he signed off Chelsea in football season?
Well, so he takes a 2-month vacation. And I'm not knocking him. The dude, he traveled more than ever this year. He was doing Monday Night Football. He was going to all, like, don't hate the player, hate the game. And he busts his butt. But that show, I was just laughing my ass off because, like, they messed up a graphic like 5 minutes in. He's like, we're not on vacation yet. You know, and just in his particular way.
Well,
so.
What was it? What was the game he was playing with Stanford Steve? Was it like woo or boo?
And boo,
like
they, or boo or woo?
Yeah, like they were just like making themselves, like you could tell, like they were. It was the ultimate last day of school vibes.
Oh, yeah. He even mentioned it the whole time. Yeah. He joked about Tom Amansky, and then they played
the Tom
Amansky
video. Oh, I
didn't
see the back to back. I'll tell you what, the Wright household had the full collection of VHS.
This stuff works.
Back to back to back AAU national champions.
they played it.
Endorsed by the crime dog. Oh,
Fred McGriff.
Oh yeah.
With his terrible hat. This stuff works.
He had like that trucker hat before like a trucker hat was even a thing.
Yeah, he
it was the foam trucker hats. Oh, those were great. That was like the sign of like they gave you like the cheapest hats they could find.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, the Amansky stuff. All right, so who? So this
well,
is the
what
like,
would be. Let me ask you this: yeah. What would be? And I know Goodman was out there firing takes last night.
That's
Jeff
new.
Goodman. What would be the perfect NBA draft set? Like, who would be on it? What would you like as a viewer? As I would say, you and I. Once again. I think for this particular product, you can get nerdy. You don't need everybody to be on it. If you want to do it differently on ABC, but what would be your perfect set? You would have, let's do four. You have a host.
Do they have to be, because this is the other thing I was trying to figure out.
No, whatever you want.
So Giannotto and I were
texting. Are you going to say same network?
Yeah, Giannotto and I were texting because Mark was asking me, is ESPN keeping this in perpetuity? And we got the news today that NBA and NBA TV and Turner are severing their relationship. I'm of the opinion NBA TV is going to be the same thing that NFL Network is. Like, if you've been paying attention, like, NFL Network's clearly, they're going to get consumed by ESPN, and it's not probably going to be a thing. If NFL Network's not going to be a thing, I find it hard to believe that NBA TV is.
Yeah.
So, I was looking up, and every story I saw about the new TV deal has no mention, because Mark's point was, if it went to a new network, would something fresh, you know, a reboot work? And I don't know. It seems to me like it's staying at ESPN and ABC.
I think they love it because it's two nights of content after the NBA finals when and they don't have baseball rights. So they literally they don't really have much for the next couple of months, right? Here and there, you know, TBT or whatever. So,
we are getting to the point where it'll.
Because they're losing Sunday Night Baseball, right?
After yeah. This
or they're
well,
not re-upping
they're,
it?
They're, well, it's weird. They optioned out. Basically what they said was, we don't want to pay $500 million. And then everybody took that as they're done. They did say, like, we're willing to negotiate. Like, it feels like it's just a public negotiation. So it's possible they'll have baseball back, but I don't know. Then who was I reading? Was it Marshawn or somebody was? It felt like one of those, like, here's a thought that it might be a plant where, you know, like some executives said, like, watch out for this. I think it was Orrin. Somebody suggested that YouTube should be a spot for MLB. I mean, they obviously have their deal with TNT or TBS, but that would be another option to package their extra innings, like whatnot, like, you know, how we're conditioned to watch Sunday Ticket. So,
they should. I'll say this, and they'll never do it because their commissioner hates the league. He commissions. I think every night. And I think MLB Network, to an extent, I don't have MLB Network anymore because it's not part of YouTube TV, which makes me sad, but it is what it is.
I can confirm. They have games almost every night.
But I think they should do I think they should do red zone style every night. And I think they kind of do.
What is that show called? It's like not home plate.
Are you talking about during the NCAA tournament?
No. They have a – so if you buy extra innings, I think it's still called that. The pack – like yeah. Their version of Sunday Ticket where you can get every team as long as it's not in your market. Strike Zone. That's what it is. It's MLB Strike Zone, and it's the same concept. Like red zone, like they go quad box, whatnot. But the difference is – they don't do it every night, and there's only like a 3-hour window.
Do you know, have I ever told you the deal here in Vegas?
About how the televisions work?
I have six teams blacked out.
Oh, yeah. No, we did talk about this because the California teams.
Yep.
Arizona.
Yep. All the California teams. So San Diego, L.A., both L.A.'s, San Francisco, and the A's. So that's five, and Arizona.
Yeah, so...
so there's like, no, why would I get... even if I wanted to watch the Nats, like 15%, like the game tonight would be blacked out as they play the Angels. Well, it's bizarre.
It's also this weird thing. I don't know if this is a Diamond Sports problem or whoever, you know, the FanDuel Sports Network. So forever, as a DirecTV subscriber, the Cardinals are the market. I used to, now, if it was a night of a Grizzlies game, they would not show it. But once, you know, the Grizzlies ended, I got every Cardinal game. Now, all I get is Braves games, but if I go to the FanDuel Sports Network app and log in with my DirecTV subscription, I can watch Cardinal games online only. I have no idea how that works, but they will not put it on my actual channel lineup. And then, I don't know if y'all have discovered this, I think the Apple Sports app tells the future.
Oh, yeah?
It is the fastest score app I've ever seen in my entire life. And so now I have the Cardinals, you know, set up as a favorite.
Oh, a little widget or whatever.
As a favorite. If I'm watching on the, like when I have to watch, unless they're a national game, I'm watching on the app. I find out about what happens 3 minutes before. But I'm even talking about, if you watch the Apple app, I swear to God, it tells the future. It's ahead of every play. I've never seen an app that fast.
Speaking of Apple, don't forget Apple has certain Friday night games, yeah. Which is why I don't get to watch tonight.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are on there tonight against the Guardians.
Oh, I think I forgot to cancel my Apple TV. I got the week free because I wanted to watch your friends.
That's
and neighbors,
how they do it.
And I forgot to cancel it.
I binged Ted Lasso.
Shrinking's great. Watch Shrinking. Also, Slow Horses is one of my all-time favorite shows. That one's up there.
You didn't answer my question.
All right,
though,
so here
back.
We go.
So what would be your ideal?
Okay, so this
NBA
was
going to
be my
draft.
Point about Malika.
Yeah.
You realize very quickly when it's off script, Malika doesn't thrive. She's far from the only host in that business that when it gets off script, that doesn't thrive. So the number one thing is I do not want her as a host because the whole thing's unscripted. Who would make for the best host? Like,
I mean, I think it's pretty easy.
I mean, I guess
we just can't put Van Pelt on everything.
That's
but
the
he
problem.
Would be,
it's like
he would be awesome at it.
I'm trying to think who else. So Dari anchored ABC's, correct?
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. He was fine.
I like Dari. The problem is
you need someone who knows college. Scott Van Pelt. Here's the thing. He loves college basketball.
Well, like, the other thing is, like, is this a... where's Reese been? Doesn't Reese do College Game Day for basketball, too?
He did the NFL draft. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
He does college ball.
And this is somebody that, like, keeps up with it so he can move the thing along. Like, the other problem is, who is... The ESPN also has this problem where it's like, okay, Malika's their person, but like that's not her best. Like it needs to be like a news anchoring program. And then like last night wound up like she was telling a story about, you know, I went to Philly and saw Embiid and Paul George, and, you know, they told me part of the plan is, you know, Embiid's not going to play. And I was like, what is this ad? Like, I was like, well, what are we doing here? Like, there are certain people that don't need to improv. Like, and so
it was almost like someone got in her ear and was like, hey, show your personality tonight. Like, and she told a story about Jokic and being, you know, during the Taco Bell commercial. And I agree. Like, when you're in that role, it's just point guard, man. Just dish.
100%. And keep it moving.
Yeah.
Keep it moving. Okay.
And
so,
and I thought, like, I'll say this in her defense. I thought, I mean, they had to go to Shams, like, every single time. So it was like, oh, there's another trade. And I thought, for the most part, having him off screen was good because he had to, you know, check in with his sources and all of that stuff. I thought Windhorst was pretty good. I'm a Windhorst.
This is a Windhorst positive space.
Very pro yeah, Windhorst. No. Billis is solid. I think he puts in the work.
Well, someone turned me on. There was a listener when we all decided, like, can ESPN not do this anymore? There was a listener that turned me on to Windhorst was hosting. They were like in a back studio at ESPN, and Windhorst was with some podcast, and it's like four guys I'd never seen before, but it's like four guys that were great. And it was in more of the, you know, video podcast form where it's like the draft's going on. They're more like, it was like a Manning cast or like one of the Barstool watch alongs, like the live streams. Like, it was one of those things. But I'm sitting there going, like, these guys are better than anything I'm watching on television. Like, I came in too late to, like, stick with it because you could tell, like, they were referencing things that they'd been talking about. It's like, okay, well, I'm lost here. But they were infinitely better. It's like Numbers is in the name or something like that. Okay.
It wasn't the Hoop Collective.
It was not Hoop Collective. It was three guys that I'd never seen before.
Numbers on the Board?
Yes, that was them.
Let me get through this YouTube ad and see if I recognize these people.
I mean, they were clearly internet people. Like, they were part of, like, NBA Twitter. But they were good. And so, like, if you wanted to have that, like, that was an alternative. I think you got to have Bobby Marks. I felt like the only person that, like, his star rose this week was Bobby Marks. Because I felt like everyone was like, Bobby was great.
I thought Bobby and Bob Myers were good last night. They played off of each other. They had some stories to tell about their experience. Like, having a GM on the set, I think, is because they've been there. They know how this all plays out. And I thought, look, I don't think they use Bobby Marks enough at ESPN. I think he's very, very good.
Okay, so
yes, these are NBA internet personalities.
Yeah, that's
I've definitely seen them before doing clips, and I think they just recently got like a later night slot on ESPN doing their video podcast. They're great. They're very funny.
Yeah, they were phenomenal. Like, that was legitimately entertaining to watch. So, but like, they also feel like that's the thing. ESPN wants, like,
they aren't polished though. Like, that's not their
But like, I also think television has a problem. Like, I was mentioning this to Cobb yesterday. Golf fans will know that CBS, who has most of the PGA Tour's rights, 3 or 4 years ago, the product was awful. Like, it was unbearable. It was because they had a longtime guy named Frank Chikanian that was more consumed with being a member at Augusta National than he was actually making a good golf broadcast. He obviously had tenure. He obviously probably knew the right people. So we were stuck with, until he left, and now, granted, I am promoting somebody who went to my own high school and is from Memphis, Sellers Shy, but Sellers is running the operation now, and the product is fabulous. Like, they listened to most of the complaints that golf fans had, and it is the clear superior broadcast. I am wondering if also the problem is at ESPN, you have people that have been producing TV the exact same way, and I just don't think it works anymore, man.
So, just because this also ties into that, when you say ESPN and their production crew, that show that you were watching, not ESPN, Omaha.
It's why also I'm not, and I know Tim, I think I've brought you over. I'm not actually that worried about Inside the NBA on ESPN.
They're not going to touch it.
Because I think that they are going to be so hypersensitive about anything that they're not going to touch it.
They let, I know McAfee just likes to complain because that's just, I guess, who he is as he makes a bajillion dollars. They don't really mess with that show.
At all.
They let him put on whoever he wants. The only thing was like, hey, can we, what you brought this up.
Yes.
Like, can we not have Aaron Rodgers bring up Jimmy Kimmel and the Epstein files? Like,
could we maybe cool it with him? We're paying him $1 million. We don't, like, if he's going to be on, we don't want him as suggesting our late night host is a pedophile.
And yet he still came on last week.
Yeah, I mean, he basically had to, like, sit it out and that's fine. And then also, like...
But you never have to worry about... Inside the NBA, here's the thing.
McAfee this week just went after ESPN executives.
It's because he does that nonstop. And they pretty much let him do whatever he wants, right? Like, Inside the NBA, while it can be off the cuff, it's still a professionally done television show hosted by arguably the greatest host in sports maybe ever in Ernie Johnson. Like, he's not going to let it go off the rails McAfee style. They're not going to mess with it.
Well, I mean, like, if ESPN cared, Rappaport was on again today.
Right.
Like, and supposedly, you know, like, the reports are that McAfee iced out Schefter. Like, you think ESPN's in favor of that? No. So, like, I'm just not that worried. I would have some, like you said, SVP is my dream job, but, like, I'm just not, I don't think that's realistic. Like, you know what I mean? So
we also can't have Scott do everything because we don't want a situation. I mean, I'll ask you this. Maybe Ernie Johnson, I don't know. Is there anybody else out there who has a higher Q rating in the media field than SVP?
Tirico's pretty high.
Yeah.
I
mean, Ernie's high, but he's not on as much, nearly as much as SVP.
Well, there's just a difference also of, like...
When you compare, in my opinion, he does have opinion pieces. He does the one big thing. He'll do some, you know, things where he does bring his opinion to the table. He has his own podcast. But I think even that, I have yet to meet a person in my life who's like, Van Pelt stinks. Because I probably don't want to be that person's friend.
I'm trying to think. So CBS is James Brown is still the CBS NFL anchor, right?
Yeah, JB's good, but he's on once a week.
Right, right. I'm going through my head of the people with gravitas.
Right. You got Menifee. You got, I mean,
yeah, Kurt on Fox, and then Maria on NBC. Like, that's the thing.
Again, it's a once a week thing, but Eisen does. NFL Network, that pre-weekly show's good.
Eisen's definitely not as nowhere near Van Pelt.
Oh, no. SVP is top tier.
I mean, and maybe ESPN also fell into this trap of, like, when they had the war between Maria and Rachel Nichols, they end up losing both. And it's like, in an attempt to keep both, they lost both, and I think that is a noticeable void. Because Maria and Rachel are both better than Malika by a wide margin.
I was never the biggest Rachel fan. I think Maria is very, very good.
I'm with you, but I can still, like, Rachel was still better than Malika.
And what I would say is, I don't know this, NBC must have some sneaky cash, because remember when they pulled Tirico over and we're like, wait, he's leaving Monday Night Football to go to NBC? And now he does everything over there, right? So they must have some good maneuvering, because Maria is now going to be the face of NBA coverage as well. She's still going to do Football Night in America. I imagine she's still going to do the college football stuff. So it, like, was a slow build for her over there, where now she's on some pretty high-profile stuff.
All right, so my thought is, give me, like, I'm going realistic. Like, I want somebody... Like, put Reese handling it.
I think if Reese hosted last night's set was really almost as good as I could have asked for. Like, I would throw, I've had Rosillo stock since infancy. So I think he would be great on it, because he grinds and
Yeah, but I mean, with Russillo, like, it's not, you know, he. I don't think he left ESPN, and I don't get the sense now. I mean, he didn't.
No,
say,
I'm just saying from an ideal.
I thought we were trying to put
fantasy.
Together. I thought we were trying to put ESPNs together.
No.
Okay. Well, then that's a completely different thing.
A horse of a different color.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're just doing pure fantasy, right.
Make your four all person.
Right, Maria's hosting. Because Maria's great. Maria's hosting. I want. Okay, I'm with you on Russillo. He's like the draft guy.
I want Marks on there.
I want Marks. The problem is if you do.
Or do you want Marks off to the side on like a touch screen? Like, okay, this is. Because they used to do that with him. He used to be over there like,
he was
this
like
is Karnak- how the money's going to work.
Well, he was
out.
Like Karnacki.
I don't want that guy on there.
Like he was like they tossed it to like Karnacki over like on the. My problem with Myers is there's some segments you go that's great, and then there's other segments like what is he even? He looks so bored. Like, what is he doing there? I like Billis because Billis knows the college game. I think it is helpful to have somebody there.
Yes,
I am with you. Make somebody your NBA draft guy. And I know you said, like, Gavoni's out there, but, like, they're not putting him on TV. So, like, I don't care. I'm fine with your idea of Jay Williams. Like, make Jay your draft guy.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
All right. And then, let's see. Who else would I want? Who's somebody you can kind of... Because, like, I don't want to just, like, put Charles on everything.
I don't know if I need Charles on that.
Yeah.
I want people who are just going to – I want to nerd out draft-wise. I want a Daniel Jeremiah. I want the McShay. You know, I want
then
that.
Put Gavoni on there.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right.
Or Sam Vecenie. I don't know how Sam Vecenie presents on television, but he puts in – I mean, did you read his draft guide?
It was like
– it's insane.
It was like 10,000 words.
Yeah. Like, good God, man.
All right, let's take a break. I want to get into – listen, I know it's falling into the trap. EA Sports does it. But I want to talk about the rankings and see where we are, because this is something you and I have been talking about. So they now have, this week, they've revealed their top 25 teams. I don't think it's clickbaity, but I want to discuss it with you. We'll talk about it next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, I mentioned to you when we were talking about the return of NCAA on EA Sports NCAA College Football last year that I do think that there should have been like a Harvard Business School discussion or a class on how they marketed the game, because last year it felt like, in terms of like making sure like the right way to like get notoriety, like whatnot, like I thought they did a brilliant rollout. So we got the top 25 overall teams today. And so this is what I thought was interesting. There were a couple of teams where I'm like, I see why they put them there. Like, this is like the other issue I feel like with NCAA. There can be an 8-4 SEC team that their overall rating might be better than a Big 12 team, but the Big 12 team could be in the playoff. So I thought this was interesting. The number one overall team, it's a team that you and I have circled as what are you, or can you figure out quarterback? Alabama at number one.
So, you know, I saw someone, you know, out there say, look, this is ridiculous. It's also very, very, very tight, right?
Correct.
Like, they're spread, 89, and like everyone else, like the next four or five are 88s. Is that what I saw?
One through eight. So Alabama's at 89, Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame, Georgia, Clemson, and Texas A&M are all at 88.
Seems to be a bit aggressive for Texas A&M.
I will say, from a roster perspective, they're going to have pretty good players.
Who's that, A&M?
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, Alabama, we did the exercise, I think, on this show, which was, if the quarterback hits, they might be the most talented team in the country. So I'm not like up in arms over Alabama being the number one team in a video game.
I think you and I both agree. if Alabama hits on quarterback, it would not shock us if they're the national champion.
No. I mean, I think when you look at the roster, and once again, I know that he's not gospel, but I went through all of the units that Phil Steele ranked. They're top 10 in every single unit. Alabama is, outside of quarterback. So, obviously, quarterback's the most important position in the sport, but if a former five-star recruit can hit with a coaching staff that has done this regularly with quarterbacks, they're going to be pretty good.
Okay, so then the LSU Tiger, Oregon is 9, LSU's 10, so they do have A&M ahead of LSU, which, I mean, that's interesting.
And ahead of Oregon.
Yeah. Miami's at 11. Florida is at 12. Although they're an interesting team to me. Because while I haven't seen Lagway put it all together, unlike with Anthony Richardson, I'm more interested to see what Lagway looks like this year. I think I can easily see at the end of the year he's the best quarterback in the league.
Lagway?
Yeah. I feel about Lagway the way the public feels about Lenoris. I do not have the Lenoris gene. I do. I am very, very Lagway curious.
This is not good radio because we're agreeing too much. When I put together my top returning quarterbacks, Cade Klubnik was 1 and DJ Lagway was 2. So I'm with you. I'm very high on DJ Lagway.
We got to put somebody in the Big 12 up there. Texas Tech at 13, Arizona State at 14.
It's a little aggressive. I'm not there on Texas Tech. I think they're becoming very popular.
I tend to agree. I will say that they are spending like a big boy.
They are. They got talent. That's for sure.
Michigan at 15. Ole Miss at 16, OU at 17, Indiana at 18. I'm shorting them so hard. SMU at 19, Tennessee at 20, Mizzou at 21, Auburn at 22, Duke at 23, Carolina at 24, and Illinois at 25. I do kind of like that little, like, let's get Beamer and Burt fighting again. Stuffing him in a locker.
Duke 23. Interesting.
Top offenses, the top 5 offenses are Texas at 1, Penn State at 2, Ohio State at 3, Arizona State at 4, Clemson at 5. The top 5 defenses are Alabama at 1, Texas at 2, Penn State at 3, Georgia at 4, Ohio State at 5. How does Texas having the number 1 offense and the number 2 defense not the number 1 team when... Yeah. Alabama's at the number 7 offense and the number 1 defense.
Yeah, it seems.
I guess special teams, maybe. Hey, there's 3 phases.
A bit miscalculated, it seems like.
All right. Then the other thing I want to discuss with you, I felt like they did a better job on toughest places to play this year. Number 1, Tiger Stadium. 2, Beaver Stadium. 3, Ohio Stadium. 4, Sanford Stadium. 5, Bryant-Denny. 6, Memorial Stadium, the other Death Valley at Clemson. 7, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. 8, Gaylord at Oklahoma. Altson at 9, Michigan at 10. So here's the only thing I'll say. I think
Michigan's a little overrated.
So I was talking to Giannotto about it. The problem that Michigan has, Michigan has the same thing that Alabama has. If you go to the Alabama-Mississippi State game, you're not going to be leaving thinking like, man, that place was unbelievable. But when I covered the 2015 Alabama-Ole Miss game after Ole Miss tore down the goalpost the year before, that game kicked off at like 8:30. It was the loudest stadium I've ever been in. Hands down, no questions asked. Michigan's kind of the same thing. They're so above all the teams, but I think if you and I would go there to the Ohio State game, I think we'd leave being more impressed.
Yeah.
having also been at Bryant-Denny for a night game, that place gets pretty rowdy.
Here's why I'm fine with putting Tiger Stadium number one.
I've also been there for a night game.
I think the average Tiger Stadium game is louder.
It's insane.
Like the even when LSU's playing a directional Louisiana. Now, I've always said this, and I think it's true. They have the built-in advantage that they've convinced everyone that you have to play games there at night, and every stadium's better at night. Everyone's louder, everyone's drunker, like the environment's always better.
I don't think the folks down there for LSU need a lot of...
No, they don't need a lot of encouragement, but there is like...
or extra time for that matter.
But like, you know, the times you want to play LSU on the road is if you can somehow get that 11 a.m. spot.
Yeah, but they're still coming down from the night before.
Yeah, but it is like, it's a lot harder to get recharged.
True.
You know what
True.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's that. Where was your... Did they not put Notre Dame in the top?
It's like 21st.
Notre Dame is 21. On here at 21. Yeah, I'm looking at it.
That's about right. I mean, Notre Dame at night charged up is pretty solid. Day games are pretty...
The underrated one, George, I don't know if you played there. Jordan-Hare can get really freaking loud.
I have played there, and it can certainly get pretty crazy.
Like, it can get nuts.
Very nice people, though, outside of the stadium.
I do think they suffer a little bit from the Jordan-Hare at night. Like, when you get the night Jordan-Hare game, it's a lot different than the, like, early Jordan-Hare game.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, I mean, I almost feel like, I mean, Beaver Stadium at night for a whiteout is arguably the best atmosphere in the country. I still would probably go LSU over that and probably a couple other SECs. But a noon Eastern kickoff at Penn State is kind of like, eh.
Well, I mean, remember they were complaining. Like, that's the thing.
They got their wish against Oregon.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 99 FM, ESPN. All right, my man. Big weekend for your boy. Me and my lovely wife celebrating our 5th anniversary tonight. So nice. we got the 8-course tasting meal tonight. Looking forward to that. Not looking forward to tomorrow morning. So shout out to my wife for making the worst mistake of her life. So her mistake was my gain. All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, I just absolutely loved this. Did you see... Hassan Yang when they were like trying to figure out what his interests were outside of basketball? I sleep, I play PS5, I like to eat. Like, honestly, that's what you're gonna do this weekend, right? Like, you're home alone. Like, if left to our own devices, that's what we all just want to do.
Pretty much.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, just hit the sticks, get some Zaha. Like, that's really just all we want.
I have booked a solo excursion to go see F1 in IMAX tomorrow after my show.
It's on the agenda. I will say that. Although I'm a little worried because now I actually am an F1 fan. Like, I'm just hoping I'm not.
The early reviews are positive.
And it is one it feels like you have to see in IMAX.
Yeah, there's an IMAX on my way home, and I was like, 11 a.m. IMAX showing. Okay, fine.
All right, my man. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, see you guys.
That's Tim Murray. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.